listeners, welcome back to Story Magic, the podcast that will help you write a book you're damn proud of.
I'm Rachel.
And I'm Emily.
And today we want to talk about choosing the right POV for each of your scenes. So what does that mean? I'm talking now specifically about like if you're having more than one POV in your book.
Point of view.
POV, point of view. So two plus point of views. If you have one, please listen because this could be helpful. But this is really for you if you have more than one point of view. So I have six point of views. So
oh my goodness.
Like often a question that I face of like, whose point of view am I going to write this next scene in?
Yeah. You get this question all the time from so many people with that situation.
Exactly. Because it feels like you have a piece of your story that you're trying to tell and whose head should you be in as you're mm-hmm. telling it? Like what is the – I feel like usually the question is what's the best choice? The best choice is just something that's been chosen. So number one, just need to choose one. But number two, I do think there are some questions you can ask yourself to determine like what would be the strongest point of view or, you know, what would be the most impactful point of view to choose for a specific scene. So that's what we're going to talk about.
Yeah. I love that you started with that though, because ultimately like you just have to choose. Like,
yeah,
I've seen people spiral themselves into like crazy holes trying to like, they're like, I just don't know. And it's like, just choose. Like you just have to choose. And like, it'll be fine. You're still going to tell the story. Everything will be fine. There are things you can think about as you do decide, like questions that can guide you, to make that decision in a way that feels good to you.
Yeah. And you can always change it. So I want to give you an example. I have two examples to talk about from my books that I'm writing right now. The first example I wrote in book one. Mm-hmm. And let me lay the scene and then I can talk about why I actually changed it. Because it helped me see in the revisions phase that this was not the right point of view. So I was writing act three. I was at the gathering the team beat. Mm-hmm. And I have six POVs. Let me talk about two for a second. There's my like main female character who is the main character. She's mm-hmm. like the crux of the story. It's her journey. And then the other POV that I'm going to talk about is the leader of this organization that she goes to. And the leader himself is like pretty mysterious. He's been playing the characters like they're chess pieces. He basically has been doing a lot of stuff in the background to get us to this scene without telling like other people. So we basically exist in this scene because of him and the choices he made in act one. So now we're here in this scene. This is the gathering the team beat, which means that like my main character is trying to get all these other people on her side. I originally wrote it from the leader's perspective. His name is Obi. Mm. I wrote that scene from Obi's perspective because I wanted to show like Obi's thoughts as my main character is standing in front of him and being like laying out her plan and being like, mm-hmm. will you be on my team? And it was fun to write from Obi's perspective. It was like he had a lot of, ooh, I've got like secret goals. You know, like it was, I wanted it in his head because I wanted to highlight basically like, look how smart he is and like, mm-hmm. look how he's got plans and like he's really happy to see her and he's like trying to take the temperature of the room and decide like, are the other people going to agree too? Then I finished the book and I read it again and I was like, that's not right. It's got to be from Leona's perspective because it's really important that we see her tension of like asking for help. It's really important we see like her emotions of like, what led her to this plan in the first mm-hmm. place. So I switched it. I switched it from Obi's perspective to Leona's perspective because it was way more important to Leona's arc than it was to Obi's arc. It was way more important. Leona had way more at stake than Obi did. Leona's like decision to get here was like way more important than Obi. I thought it would be more interesting in Obi's head, but it was more compelling from Leona's head.
Love that.
Yeah. So let me go into some of these questions, because this is how secondary in revisions I made this decision to switch.
Let's do it.
Okay. So when you're trying to decide like which point of view to use, I think the first question to ask is which character's arc has the most relevance or importance to the events of this scene? Who is this really about? Like, what decisions are going to be made? What's, you know, how does this scene push a specific character along their arc of change? Why is it important to this person, basically? Yeah.
Oftentimes that comes down to like what they want out of the scene, right? Like who has like the biggest goals and who has to make the biggest choices, because that person's having like the biggest amount of change that's happening to them and around them, or like to them and then the change that they're having on the world around them. And so being able to see them go through that internally can be really helpful in making sure that your readers are privy to their arc as it's unfolding.
Yeah, exactly. So on top of that, the next question is who has the most to lose or gain from this scene? Who has the most at stake emotionally and physically? So in my example, like I said, this was the gathering the team beat, but this was my main character's kind of last chance to get all these people on her side. This is her last chance to basically accomplish her goals, because if she didn't get them on her side, her goals would fall apart. When I had written it from Obi's point of view, I wanted to show a lot more intrigue, but it had like zero stakes, because regardless of what he decided, he'd probably be in kind of the same spot.
Like, got it.
He wasn't going to lose his fortune. He wasn't going to like be kicked out on the street. He didn't have, you know, the stake of potentially being killed. But like from Leona's side of things, if she didn't get these guys on her side, she would be kicked out on the street. She would like not be able to accomplish her goals. She would basically lose everything and like have to start from square one. So there was way more at stake from Leona's perspective. And that is what made the scene more compelling versus like, ooh, I thought this would be intriguing and interesting from Obi's perspective.
Gotcha. Love that.
Yeah. Okay. So third question to consider is what character revealing decision will our characters make in this scene? And what are the repercussions of that decision? Going back to what we were just talking about with like importance and relevance and arcs, we want to know, like, are they going to make, what kind of decision are they going to make, and what are the repercussions of that decision? How is that going to push them along the trajectory of their arc, positive or negative? And who has the most important decision?
Yeah, if you think about it, it's like when somebody, whoever has the biggest decision has to weigh the biggest options, right? Like they have to weigh the consequences of their decisions. And so, and whenever somebody, anybody makes a big decision with consequences on either side, they're showing something about who they are in why they decide to do that, right? And as a reader, you're only privy to why they've made that decision and like seeing them make it and the conscious and subconscious reasons behind why they make it and why they value one option over the other if you're in their head. And so thinking through, even if it's just like a chill scene where everybody's just hanging out, right? Thinking through who makes the biggest of the decisions can help you figure out like who's going to be the most interesting person to be in their head, because you're going to get to see them like do something interesting and character revealing on the page.
Yes, exactly. Okay, now let's go back to Obi and Leona, because on top of the intrigue that I wanted from this gathering the team beat, it as the leader, it's Obi's decision whether Leona gets what she wants. Like, he is the one who decides, does this team get together, because he's the leader. So when I originally wrote the scene, that's what I was aiming for. I was like, Obi's decision felt way more important. Leona's story, like, her in scene is, like, way more stakey, way more emotional. But it's Leona's decision. Yeah, it's Obi's decision to agree to her gathering the team beat. Are they going to be a team? So what I actually decided to do was split this scene. I actually had the first part in Leona's perspective, where she's, you know, laying out everything. Mm-hmm. Can we be a team? And she ends the scene. And then I created a brand new scene from Obi's perspective that shows the discussion and decision of whether they're going to accept her or not. Because I didn't want to lose that. Like, it still felt really important that Obi was like, yes, and that Obi was able to –
You got to see why.
Yes, you got to see why. And you got to, like, gauge the temperature of the other guys and, like, see what does Obi think about everything that Leona just said. But I had – it was much smaller. It's, like, a really tight scene. And it goes straight to Obi being like, all right, we need to discuss this. Does this – is this what we want? Are we going to do it? And then they agree, yes, they're going to do it. So that was actually – this question was super helpful for me to determine, like, actually, Obi's decision still needs to be on the page, but not from Leona's perspective in this scene. So I had to create, like, a brand new scene where I could still show Obi thinking and still, like, play into some of the intrigue that he had. So not only did I – yeah.
Good example.
Yeah, it was really helpful. So I switched the POVs, but then I also, like, I still need a little bit of you, Obi, so you get your own. You get your own scene.
I love it.
Yeah. Okay, fourth question here is, how long has it been since their last point of view? And here's what I mean with that question. So I have six people. if you keep them in a solid rotation, that's one POV every six scenes. And, like, it's not awesome. It's not awesome. Yeah. It's a difficult balance. So I legitimately will look at when is the last time this character had a POV, and how can I work them into the plot? Like, how can I work a scene in that still is important to their arc? Like, it, all the other questions still get hit, like, still is important to the arc. They still have a lot to gain or lose emotionally. The stakes are still high. They still have a solid decision. But, like, I need to bring them back into the mix. So what's the next plot point that I can include that would fit from their POV? And that actually helps me determine a lot about, like, who goes who. And, you know, what that looks like.
Yeah, I like when I – so I only have two POVs in my – well, three technically if you include the backstory, but that's the same same as one of the POVs. But I – when I – sorry if you can hear the trash truck. Listeners, it is Monday morning.
Trash day.
Trash day. But, okay, so we're just gonna roll right over that. Yeah, so I – So I have two POVs, and it's a romance. It's my romance isn't technically my A plot. Like, it's very should we pause?
No, I think it's
so
fine.
Loud.
Not that loud.
So okay, sorry guys. So two POVs. It's a romance. The romance is a heavy piece of the story. But they are separate for the first part of the book, like, a lot of the time. And so when they're on the page together, I had to make sure that I was balancing, like, whose head I was in when they were in romantic moments together, or, like, potentially romantic tension moments, so that I could see them interacting with each other, but from each person's head. So part of my decision-making when I was going back through revisions was, like, looking at, okay, I have, like, four times when they're on the page together in act, you know, in the second quarter of my book. And so how can I make sure that I'm really showing each of their emotional you know, like their emotional feelings about each other in each of their heads. So I'm not just like in her head for, you know, the first quarter. And then like, we don't see what's going on in his head, except when he's like away from her. Right. Like, so I think it can be helpful to balance, like, what kind of scene is it? And have we seen that kind of scene from each person's perspective?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think that's a really great, I think that's a really great study too of multiple POV books. And I also think specifically romance. Like, there's so much to be learned from romance books, and they often just get like shit on of like, romance is not as, you know, craft heavy. And I'm like, I disagree. Like, I feel like a really successful romance book has a lot of moving pieces. Mm-hmm. It's got multiple POVs. It's got romantic tension from each side. It's got emotional stakes on each side. And so if you pick up a book that has multiple POVs, you can ask, or you can like evaluate, why is it this POV? What's going on? You know, did we see that from the other person too? When was that? You know, what is at stake here? You know, why are we in this person's head? And how do we find this balance? I 10 out of 10 recommend like studying.
Yeah, we're romance. huge proponents studying in general. Studying published works. But I think, POV is one of those easy things where when you're reading it, just ask yourself, like, why did the author choose to do this scene in this person's perspective? And you'll learn a lot that way. And I think, too, your last bullet here is, when in doubt, pick a character and write it from their POV. And I do think there's something to be said for like, just choose, right? But also just write it from both. Right. Like, if you're trying to decide between, and I also think sometimes that's a tool that can be used just in general to really make sure that there's depth to the scene, because you understand what's going on from the other person's perspective. I actually just had a client, she was writing backstory to understand a relationship between two characters, one of whom is a POV character in her story, but one of whom is not. They're just a secondary character on the page. But she didn't really know them that well. And so for her, it was really helpful to write a moment between the two of them from each of their POVs to like really understand what was going on. So you can do that like at any point in your story and backstory to just like really understand people's perspectives. And I guarantee when you do that, you'll gut instinct to know like which one to include.
Yeah. So here's my second example that I mentioned at the beginning. Now, this is from book two, so it's probably going to be vague because I don't want to give spoilers. But I had such a hard time with the catalyst of book two. Mm-hmm. Like, I knew what the plan was going to be coming out of it, but I could not like logistically figure out book two's catalyst. And essentially, like, there's a showdown between all of these characters, but Leona should not be there. And I really wanted the catalyst from Leona's perspective, because she's the main character, because like, she's, you know, this is Leona's journey. But like, for other reasons, I really also did not want her there. So I had like this plot event that I was really like, this plot event is the catalyst, but Leona's not there. Yeah. And I was trying to like figure out, how am I going to get Leona there? How is she going to participate? And then I was like, oh, this needs to happen from Caspian's point of view. Like, he has just as much emotionally at stake. He has just as much to gain or lose. He has just as much important on his character arc. Like, and as soon as I switched it to Caspian's point of view, I wrote it in a day. And I was like, oh, well, that makes a lot more sense. Because he also has like tons wrapped up emotionally in this event.
Yeah.
So I really was unsure, is it going to work from Cass's perspective, because he's not Leona.
Yeah.
And does this event, you know, can I play this event off without seeing Leona's reaction to the big thing that happens? And I wrote it. I was like, I just have to try. I just got to write it. So I wrote it from Caspian's point of view. It came out super easily. It's on the page. And I was like, wow, actually, yeah. Because the only thing I needed from Leona in that moment was her reaction to what happened. And that's a debate scene. That's not a catalyst scene. So like, I got all the important stuff down from Caspian's point of view. And then the very next scene is Leona and her reaction.
Yeah. Well, if she wasn't there, then her catalyst is learning about it, right?
Well, she's watching on a screen.
Got it.
So like that was the thing, is like I couldn't have her physically there. So she sees it for sure. The event itself, like the plot event outside of characters, needed to happen regardless.
Yeah.
But like physically she couldn't be present, but she could see it happen.
Yeah. It does. And this is such a beautiful example of like, you got to do what works for you in your book, right? Kraft would say, oh, you have to see the catalyst from the POV character's perspective. But like, sometimes you don't.
Sometimes I don't. I'm going to do what I want. Yeah. And I might change it. Like, I also, like, if I finish writing the book and I reread it and I'm like, nah, I think this would work better, maybe I'll change it in the future. Like, I changed it for Obi and Leona for their scene in book one. But without writing it, like just picking Caspian and writing it, I would still be stuck. Exactly. Because now I've written the whole debate and like we get all the juiciness that happens from the debate. It was just who's going to be there for the catalyst.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
Awesome. Like, so
go ahead.
Anyway, to wrap us up. We've talked about things like character arcs and stakes and decisions. And so if that's feeling new to you from like a Kraft perspective, go learn about scene structure, which is where you're going to learn about like scene goals and scene decisions.
We have a blog we can give you guys, actually.
We have a blog. Don't we? We have a podcast episode. Intro to scene structure. Episode 19. So cool. We will link the blog in the show notes and also go listen to episode 19 and then character arcs, with everything we do has time.
Sign up for magical character arcs.
Exactly. Like get on our Magic of Character Arcs course, because that's going to teach you everything you need to know about character arcs.
We're about to tell you about it in the outro for the episode. So pay attention if you usually skip it.
Yeah. So go check about that. And you can also read through plenty of blogs about it.
Yeah. And don't worry about it too much, you guys. Yeah. Like just go with write it from both. If you're trying to choose between two and pick the one that's the most fun, because that's the one your reader will think is the most fun.
Exactly. Last point. Okay. Last thing. That what you just said, what you think the reader thinks is most fun. This triggered for me. So I have gotten specific pushback on this before. Not pushback, a different perspective. Why don't you write it from the perspective of someone who has the least at stakes and can just observe? Mm. And like in this scenario, the question was like someone who can just like basically eat a bag of popcorn and like watch the drama unfold.
Yeah.
And I don't recommend that. Because it might seem like super fun to write because you are watching all the drama unfold. But from like a show perspective and from like an engaging the reader perspective, we really need to have like those emotional stakes in the head of the person who's feeling them. Like it's not as effective to choose a character who can just watch the madness happen. Yeah. Because they're not feeling the
madness. They're not emotionally invested, which means your reader won't be as emotionally invested.
Exactly. So I caution against that. If you do make that choice, just make it intentionally. Like we have said, you can make whatever choices you want. There's no rules. But just make it intentionally. And I would think really hard about the choice of, oh, well, they're just observing. So that means the reader can just watch the madness unfold. Be like, well, no, it would be more effective if the reader watched the madness unfold from the perspective of the person feeling the madness and like having the impact on them. Wanted to make sure.
No, that's great. No, that's super great. Awesome.
Awesome.
If you want to build a successful, fulfilling, and sustainable writing life that works for you, you've got to get on our email list.
Sign up now to get our free email course, The Magic of Character Arcs. After 7 days of email magic, you'll have the power to keep your readers flipping pages all through the night.
Link in the show notes. We'll see you there.
Bye.